All right, we start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Bet Amud Bet. Mishnah starts ear. Sheyesh ba avodat kochavim. Again, what it means ear sheyesh ba avodat kochavim is that they're celebrating. That day is a holiday, and that's Rashi's interpretation over here. Now, this is going to be a problem for Rashi and his pshat, and we'll see this in a second. And Rashi seems to have changed his mind from what we've seen earlier on in the Masechta. But here, ear sheyesh ba avodat kochavim derech avodat kochavim liot lahem yom shuk b'yirid b'yom edam. They generally have some sort of bizarre. They have a large market on the day of their holiday. So that's what Rashi claims. Rashi claims our Mishnah is speaking about a case or an instance where it was a shuk or yirid on Yom Idam. Whereas many of the other Rishonim disagree with Rashi because of the issue it's going to present towards the end of this Mishnah and say that it's not on Yom Chagam or not on Yom Idam. So now, Vayuba Chaniot Utarot, some of the stores are decorated. And other stores that are not decorated. So then, this case actually came up in Beit Shan. Those that are decorated are asur to transact with them. Those that are not decorated, you are permitted to transact with these stores. So Rashi says, what's the difference between those that are mutarot and not mutarot? That is whether they pay the mechas, they pay a tax. I mean, that we have sorts of programs today where, for instance, a company will say, we'll donate 5% or 10% of all proceeds today to a certain charitable organization. So this was the idea. These stores that were mutarot indicated that their transactions today would go, at least a portion of them, would go towards Avodah Zarah. So that decoration is an indication that part of the money that you're going to hand over is going to go directed or be directed toward Avodah Zarah. Therefore, you may not transact with them. On the other hand, if it's not mutarot, if it's not decorated, then we assume it's just business as usual, and therefore it would not be an issue. Now, Rashi asks a question on himself. He says, well, if I just said that this is a Yom Shuk or Yirid on the day of their Chag, he says, v'imishum, Rashi writes this towards the end of the Mishnah, imishum denose v'notein b'yom edam, that he transacts on the day of their holiday. So he says, wait a minute, we said before you're not allowed to transact with them, period, on their holiday. What does this have to do with mutarot and ain't a mutarot? The Mishnah, or the first Mishnah in the Masechta said, ain't no simnotim lehem, be'edehem, and then lifne'edehem also. But where did we get this idea all of a sudden that you can differentiate? So he says, Rashi says, it's hani mile lizvuni lehu. That is to sell it to them, to sell merchandise to them. Dilma, mizamin le behema, maybe you will sell them an animal. Bazel makrib le avodat kochavim, and then he'll go and be makrib that behema to avodah zarah. Inami, another issue is, derech lokeach liot sameach, the buyer is happy. Bazel modi, aval mizban minayu, to purchase from them, davar mitkayim, something that is durable. Shori, destam mochera etzavu. A seller in general is upset. This seems to be against what Rashi had said earlier in the Masechta. If you remember in the Masechta, when we said Nosim Notenin Ahem, Rashi says to transact with them either direction. That would be a problem. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says, no, the problem is selling them things, items that can be Tikrovit L'Avodah Zarah. But buying from them is not a problem. It's only selling them items that are Tikrovit L'Avodah Zarah. And Laseit V'Latetim Ahem means to give them the animal and take the money. That's what Laseit L'Latetim Ahem was. And we saw that that machlokas progressed, we saw it in other instances as well. And here, Rashi seems to say, no, the problem is not purchasing from them, but rather the only problem is selling to them, which it sounds very much like the Rabbeinu Tam. And on that, Tosva says over here that it seems like Rashi. Mashma, he says, Mashma shechozba Rashi, Mashayim mefaresh le'el, it seems like Rashi reversed his position over here. And whether, no matter what the interpretation is, you still have a problem, and this is what Tosfos raises, and the other Rishonim raise, which is that we said before that when it comes to a holiday, that you're ayin lochimem davar shenu mitkayem. You know, it's purchased from them something that is not durable, something that's a consumable, something that will not have lasting duration to it, you may not purchase from them on Yom Edam. And we're seeing in the Gemara that there are a number of examples of items that they did purchase that were not durable. So why is it that you're allowed here? So therefore, many others, or the other Rishonim, disagree with Rashi's interpretation. This is Yom Chagam or Yom Edam, because then you wouldn't be able to purchase. And therefore, at the end of Tosfos, it says, Lakach Peirush Rabbeinu Meir, the Hocha Mayri, Birid Shasui Lainu Liach Bol Meches. It's a special marketplace, bazaar, that they make for the taxation. Shelo biyomei damari, but not on their holiday. Lokach shemin mutarot in kanisur. And therefore, if they're not decorated, they're not a sur. It's just a regular day, not the holiday. And they just have one of these days where they're, it's, you know, donation day. So if you, all the business I do, 5% will go to the Avodah Zarah. So that would be problematic, but it's not Yomei Dam. And many of the other Rishonim also go in that direction to avoid this problem of it being Yomei Dam. One is because of it's a surah said latidimahem, and number two is we're going to see in the Gemara that there were Amoraim purchasing items that were not durable, like bread and so on and so forth, and the Gemara doesn't say a thing about it. So it sounds like it's not Yomei Dam. Alright, now, Amar Rabbi Shimon Galakish, Lo Shanu El Mutarot Beverit Behadas. The markets, the booths that are problematic are those that are decorated with roses and myrtle. The Kamet Hani Merecha, the problem here is not what we thought, or not what I expressed, which is that a portion of the money is going to Avodah Zarah, but rather that we're afraid you're going to get benefit from the Avodah Zarah itself. By how? The Verit and the Hadas that they decorate on these stores or these booths are Tikrovet Avodah Zarah. They're going to be Mukrav to Avodah Zarah, or they're brought before the Avodah Zarah, and you're going to smell it. They're aromatic flowers, and you're going to smell that and get a benefit. Aval Mutarot Beperot. If they're simply decorated with fruits, Mutarot, then you can transact with them. Because there's no problem with giving them money. The problem is simply you getting benefit from the Avodah Zarah. And Tosfos raises the issue about, don't we say in other places that La Recha La Milsahi, that smell in general is not something of substance. It's not something that we worry about. So the Tosfos says over here, there may be, there's a difference, that Shiny Verit Vadas, Dikrayu La Recha Kaini, because their whole purpose is for smell. And it's like the Toret, that even after its mitzvah is done, you're not allowed to smell it, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. So now, if its only purpose, or the main purpose of the item is for smell, then that is Derech HaNatam. That's the normal way to interact with these items, and that would be Asur, even if you say Recha Lav Milsahi. And then Tosfos goes on to suggest that maybe even if their main purpose is not for smell, it still should be Asur, because they are Kol Yisrum Shev Torah in Lokina Elam Derech HaNatam. Maybe you wouldn't get Malkot if it wasn't their main purpose, but maybe there's still an Isur. When it talks about Malkot, Malkot relates to the main purpose being smell, or having something that is Miltahi. But when it comes to Isur, maybe there is Isur, even when there's no Malkot. And then he goes one step further and says, Shema b'avodat kochavim afilu l'kot nami laki. Then maybe over here you should still get Malkot. Ha kilaya kerem. The reason Kilai Kerem you get Malkot for, even if you don't do it the normal way of Hana, because the word Achila is never mentioned by Kilai Kerem. The Isra Noah never has the word Achila associated, and the same thing with Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah doesn't have the word Achila associated with it in the Torah. In the Navi it definitely does, in the Ketuvim it does, but not in the Torah. And therefore, since the word Achila is not mentioned over here, maybe that's enough to say that you even get Malkot, even if it's not Derech HaNatam, even though it's not the normal way or the normal way to get Hana from this item. Nevertheless, this was suggested over here that from Verit Hadas, definitely be a sewer to smell it, but maybe even you would get Malkot in this case. The Rav Shimon Lakish says, my time, what's the problem here? Demakra, lo yidbak biyodcha me'umam min acherim. You're not allowed to get any benefit from Avodah Zarah. Not a morsel worth of benefit from them. So now he says, Nenehudu Asur, what is restricted from you is to get benefit from the Avodah Zarah. Ava mehane shari, to give benefit to the Avodah Zarah, that's not a problem. Now Rashi says, what does it mean? Mehane, over here, and we'll see this in a second, because Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, which is, Yochanan Mar, afilu me'utarot peperot. Even if it is decorated with fruits, nami asur. There it is also asur to transact with them. Kavachomer. It's a kavachomer. Nene asur. If you're going to get benefit, then you're asur. Mehane lo koshike. If you're going to give benefit to the Avodah Zarah, there certainly it should be asur. So now, what is this mehane over here? So I suggested before, and what Rashi does in a number of places says that there's a mas or a meches. There's a tax that's given from the stores to the Avodah Zarah. So when you transact with them and you give your money to them, that money will then be given to the Avodah Zarah, and that's the problem. Rashi adds an additional aspect over here, which is not clear if this is a separate item, or this is what the mechus was. But if you look at the top Rashi, it says moneh lo koshekein. When you interact with them, when you transact with them, it's hana. Why? Shechen vanim shebetocho sochrei ma'ot shel kormim hein. They are working on behalf of the kohanim, the priests. They are working on behalf of the leaders of the avodah zarah. Those that worship, those that are the priests, so the avodah zarah, give their money or give over items to the mochrim, and the mochrim act on their behalf. So that's what the problem. The problem here is that you're actually giving direct hanaa to those that are working the avodah zarah, or those that maybe even monies of the avodah zarah are then given over to these sochrim, to these merchants, in order to act on behalf of them. It's like giving a foundation or a endowment that belongs to a yeshiva, belongs to a shul, and you give it to someone to manage the money for them so that they make money or make a return on it. That's what it seems to be over here. That the Socharim were acting on behalf of the Komrim. And therefore it's a sur, which is different. Rashi and all the other places says it's a mechas, that it's a tax. But he adds this one additional item that maybe even that they are acting on behalf, or they're actually transacting on behalf of the Avodah Zarah itself, which would make it that that's mehaneh, that you're obviously benefiting directly them because you're increasing their profits. You're making them money. The Avodah Zarah itself or the Komrim are earning money itself. The Rabbeinu Baruch mentions over here that if the mechas, if the tax is to go towards a building fund for the Avodah Zarah, and it's clear that this and this much money will be given over to the Avodah Zarah, then it's asur. I mean, if they say, here, this amount of money will go here, and then a 5% tax that will go to the Avodah Zarah, then you can't purchase over there. If it's subsumed in the total amount, and they don't make it obvious that the building fund's included, there's a difference in opinion. The Rabbeinu Baruch says that it's asur, although Rabbi Moshe Mikotzi said that Im Amar Stama Vod Pashun, he just says, give me this money plus this, but doesn't say it's going specifically to the Binyan, that maybe over there you would not be restricted, because maybe he's collecting the extra tax to give it to the poor, or some other item. If you don't know for certain, he doesn't make it explicit what the purpose or the end game is, maybe over there it would be permissible to pay in, even though there's being a tax taken off. And maybe it would be given to Avodah Zarah, but since it's only a safek, maybe over there it would be okay, according to the Rabbeinu Moshe Mikotzi. All right, maybe today we have a question on the position of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Natan Omer, Yom Shavdei Chachamim Menechet Boet Amechas. So on the day that the Ovdei Chachamim actually give a tax-free day, it's a tax-free zone. Machrizim Bomim, they say, Kol Mishnotel HaTorah, everybody takes a crown, V'yaniach Berosho and wears it, Uberosh Chamaro and puts it on his donkey, L'chvod Avodat Chachamim, to honor the Avodah Zarah, Yaniach Lo Et Amechas, they'll be a tax-free. V'im Lav, if not, then he'll still be taxed. I mean, that it's a tax-free day for anyone who acknowledges that or gives kavod towards the Avodah Zarah. So Yudish and Yivsa Sharma Yaseh. A Jew that's found there, what are his options? Yaniach, if he puts the crown on Nimsa Nene, then he's going to get benefit from it. Lo Yaniach, if he doesn't put the crown on Nimsa Mahane, then he's paying the tax. I mean that if he puts the crown on, then he's getting a benefit because he's giving kavod to Avodah Zarah, and therefore he's exempted from the tax.
Tosfos over here points out that the hanoah is not from getting away with the taxes, but rather, as Rashi says over here, it has to do with wearing the wreath and getting hanoah from the smell of that wreath, whether it's around your head or around your neck. That is hanoah over here. Why is getting away with the taxes not hanoah? So Tosfos says an unbelievable thing over here. He says that getting away with the taxes is not hanoah. You know why? Because when you don't pay the taxes, it's his money. He's not getting any benefit directly from the Avodah Zarah. What he's keeping is what belongs to him. He didn't pay the taxes, but he's keeping the money. The money was always his. So that's not a benefit from the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, Tosu says, Rashi explained the benefit here, not the tax deduction, but rather the smell or the hanoah that he gets directly from the necklace or wreath that he wears.
On the other hand, if he pays the tax, he doesn't put on the wreath or whatever it is that they're asking him to put on, and then he ends up paying the tax goes to the Avodah Zarah. So then he's mehaneh. He's nehaneh because he is exempted from the tax. He's paying less money. Anything he purchases now will have less taxes on it because he's wearing the wreath of Avodah Zarah. Mehaneh, that when he gives benefit to the others, the mehaneh is that he's paying money that will be also taxed towards the avodah zarah. Anybody transacts in a shuk b'dok chomim, behemate akir, behemah has to be ruined, we'll see, perot kusuru kalim yir kavu, then they should all be, they should be laid to rot. Ma'ot klimatechet yulicham l'mel ha-melech, should be put into yam ha-melech in order to be decomposed there. Vezo ikur. What is this ikur demet beima? Hamnasher parsutah min arkovo lamato. That someone removes the hooves from the lower part of the parsut, from the hooves of the lower part where it does not make it into a trefa. Rashi over here mentions again, like we saw back on Yud Aleph. Rashi says, aval ikur shetitareif bo. If you do an ikur, that will make it into a trefa. It's a sur. The sur can't be a daim because you're not allowed to make a behema into a trefa be a daim. And therefore, it'll because, even though it's asur b'ano, because it's a preferred avodah zarah, nevertheless, you're not allowed to make it to a treifa be a daim. That's why you can only make it, take off its hoof in a way or in a manner that doesn't make it into a treifa. We saw back on Yud Aleph that Tosfos disagrees and says, where's there such an isur? There's no such isur in the Torah that you can't make something into a treifa. If it's bal tashkit, okay. But over here it's not bal tashkit. There's a purpose, there's a reason for it. Tzar b'alei chayim, oh. Now you have to something to talk about. Tzar b'alei chayim, we have to ask about, and Tosfos asks about it over here as well. So Tosfos over here says, no, that the reason that the problem over here, b'menashir p'teotea, isn't enough that the ikur makes the behema unusable, and therefore that's what it means, asur b'ana, or do you have to do something that's so extensive that it'll make it into a treifa, and therefore you can't even eat it? I mean, maybe the knas over here is simply that you remove the hooves, so it's not useful for work anymore. But you could still eat the behema. Or would you do it to an extent that it'll become asr ba'anor, become asr ba'achila, and then you make it into a treifa? So again, Tosfos, like it says back on Yud Aleph, says that the issue here is not an issue of whether it's permissible to make a treifa or not permissible to make a treifa. The question simply is, if you make it, do you have to make it into a treifa or not make it into a treifa? And if you do make it into a treifa, is it asr ba'achila? And therefore he disagrees with Rashi like he does prior, in the prior Gemara. Gemara says, Amara Misharshia Breder of Idi. So now, based on this, you have a problem for Reish Lakish. It's clear from here, according to Rabbi Natan, that there is two problems. One is Nehneh, someone gets benefit from Avodah Zarah. There's also a problem of being Mehaneh, giving benefit to Avodah Zarah, like the case of the Meches over here. And that will be problematic for Reb Shimon ben Lakish. That's a big issue for Shimon Lakish. And this is what we mentioned. The Rabbeinu Tam over here says that Reb Shimon Lakish agrees that in general, Mehaneh is Osur. That this is the exceptional case, or that the Chamim over here, we're going to see in a second where we set it up, that maybe over here they are mutarim, debi mehaneh, is unique to this case. Because over here, when you are mehaneh, you're actually doing a bizayon to the Avodah Zarah. Because you are unwilling to place the wreath on your head. So therefore, you are mevazeh the Avodah Zarah. If you're mevazeh the Avodah Zarah, maybe over there, better to be mehaneh than to be neheneh from the Avodah Zarah. And that's why we would permit it over here in this unique case. Right now, that's a problem for Reish Lakish. So, Amar Bishar Shibrei the Rabbi Idi, Kasar Reish Lakish, Pliga Rabbanah, Leid the Rabbi Natan. You quoted a Braito, that is Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan's a Dat Yachid. The Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Natan. Ve'ana, and Rabbi Yeshik Hashem Melakish will say, Ana, the Amrik, Rabbi Rabbanon, the Pliga Le. I will hold like the Rabbanon that argue on Rabbi Natan. Ah, but Rabbi Yochanan Sabar Lo Pliga. Rabbi Yochanan really holds that Rabbi Natan and the Chachamim have the same opinion. Lo Pliga, they don't argue. Right, you're gonna say, Rabbi Yochanan says, they don't argue, below pliga, they don't, that tiny, Rabbi Braiso. Ochim li'rid shel Ovdei Chachamim. You're allowed to go to this bizarre market of the Ovdei Chachamim, lochim mehem be'ema, avadim, ushpachot, batim, sadot, ukramim. You're allowed to purchase all these items from them, avadim, shpachot, batim, sadot, ukramim, v'choteif, umaleb, arkot shelahem. And you're allowed to document transactions with them, ipnei shuhu kimatzil miyadam. Because it's a mitzvah, because if you don't document it, and if you don't go and get it stamped, approved by their courts, even though you're giving kavod to their courts or to their system of courts, nevertheless, you should do it, because otherwise you're going to lose the money. You won't be able to keep it. So you could have read the Braita, Shu Matzil Miyadam is that it saves them, meaning that that's the last piece. You're allowed to go into their kavod, into their courts, because that's something that is protecting your possessions, protecting the value that you purchased, therefore you're allowed to do it. We're going to see that the Gemara and the Rishonim read this, Matzil Miyadam is referring to the whole part of this Braita, and the entire Braita is a mitzvah. Everything you're doing in this Braita is a mitzvah. Question is, why is it a mitzvah? That the Gemara will have to ask later on. Why is it a mitzvah to purchase items? What are you doing that's a mitzvah to purchase these items? But nevertheless, they don't mean it just being a matzil miyadam, being just on the contracts or getting the contracts approved or signed by the courts, but on the whole braita. Vim haya kohen, if he's a kohen, mitamei b'chutz laretz. The chamimer goes there on chutz laretz, that has a din of tumat, right? Tumat derabonon. And a kohen who goes out there would be mitamei miderabonon, tamei miderabonon. Nevertheless, he's allowed to go out, ladun ubayerim him, to adjudicate or to bring a case against them in order to get his money back or to protect his possessions. He's allowed to go out to do this. Ukishem shemitamei b'chutz laretz, just like he's mitamei chutz laretz, kamach mitamei beit hakverot. Not only can he be mitamei chutz laretz, he can also go into a cemetery. Now, chutz laretz is a tumah derabonon. Beit HaKvarot is a Tumah D'Oraita. And that's what the Gemara says. Who would ever think you're going to Beit HaKvarot? It's Tumah D'Oraita. That's a Tumah Min HaTorah. You can't do that. Ela Beit HaPras D'Rabbonon. Now we're talking about here, what does he mean? Give me Mitamei? Not even a Chutz Laretz, but he can even walk in a Beit HaPras. Beit HaPras is a field in which there was a kever that was lost. Right? There was some sort of burial area that was lost in there. And then they plowed the field. When they plowed the field, what we're afraid of is that the plow dragged the bones around the field. Dragged the bones around the field. Again, there won't be a problem of ohel, because you need rov binyan, a certain amount of concentration of whether it's revi'at dam, other items that possibly make it tumat ohel. So we're no longer worried about tumat ohel. What we're worried about is that the kohen will walk around through that field, and then it'll end up touching or moving an etzim kiseora. And that's enough to make him tamei. So that's what we're afraid of over here. So that is a din d'rabbanan, that when you have a kever in a field that's been plowed around 100 amot in every direction, a kohen cannot enter into that area. So here, we permit the kohen to enter that area of tumah d'rabbanan in order to adjudicate him, to get his money back or to protect his possessions against them. Umitamei, and in addition to that, he may be able, is mutar or permissible to be umitamei, lumo torah vilisa isha, to learn Torah and to get married. So now you've had the three items here, the three exceptions. One is to protect his possessions, to save his money, to protect his possessions, to learn Torah and Lisa Isha, that a Kohen may become Tamei to do these items. Tamei, if it's Tumah Derabbanan, like Tumat Eretz Amamim, and Tumat Beit HaPras. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Imatai, when is he allowed to go out, to go and be Tamei himself to learn? B'zman Shei Motzei Lumod. But he can't find anybody else to learn from over here. About Bizman Shemoseli Mold, and if he has the ability to learn from someone, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael, not to go to Chutz Laretz, or it's at a place where he doesn't have to cross through the Beit HaPras, then Enu Mitamei, he cannot become Tamei. He has someone else to learn from. Rabbi Yossi says the famous line, Omer Afil Bizman Shemoseli Mold, even if there's a Rebbe here and he can learn here, Yitamei, he can make himself Tamei, Lefi, She'ein, Adam Zocheh, Lemold, Mikol. Not everybody can learn from every Rebbe. That it's a, there's a certain zchut and a certain connection between the Talmud and the Rebbe, that not a person is only able to learn, place where he feels happy and content, and a place that he feels that he's being taught by someone that he relates to. And therefore, even if there's someone here who's of quality that can teach, if he thinks or feels there's someone better or someone he'll learn better from, he should go, and he can be, right, itma, he can be metameh himself, in order to go there. Right now, we have a case. Rabbi Yosef Masa B'Yosef HaKohen, Shalach HaCharovo L'Tzidan. He went out to Tzidan, from his early Motorah. Rabbi Yochan Aloha K'Rabbi Yosef. The Aloha is like Rabbi Yosef, and therefore it was permissible for this individual to go and cross, it seems over here that he was going, probably seems to be he was going into Chutz Laretz, he was crossing through some either Tuma D'Rabbanan, but probably Tzidan is in Chutz Laretz, and Chutz Laretz already has too much Eretz Amamim, but it was permissible because he went to learn Torah. Now this raises the issue, a very important issue, which is one permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael? Is one permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael? Or, the other way around, is there a restriction to leave Eretz Yisrael? From this Gemara, their implication is that there is a restriction to leave Eretz Yisrael, but the restriction is simply on a Kohen. Kohen is restricted because of a problem of Tumat Eretz Amamim. That's the problem for the Kohen is that he might enter in Ram Tamei into Eretz Amamim. We have certain Heterim that allow him to exit even when it's Tumat Eretz Amamim, but otherwise the problem is a Kohen going into Tumat Eretz Amamim. What about Yisrael? A regular Yisrael over here. So we have to ask here, First of all, who is restricted? What is the restriction? And based on that, what is the source of such a restriction? We have to look here in other Gemaras. From this Gemara, as well as Yushalmi and Moed Koton, it sounds like the problem is only a problem for a Kohen, and to that extent that the Gra on the Shulchan Aruch asks why all the Rishonim chose the other Derech, which is that there are other Gemaras, and that we'll see here, the other Gemaras that say that it seems to be, for instance, the Gemara in Ketubot, that says one may not leave Eretz Yisrael to perform Yibum, over there it does not say that it's a Kohen. The Yushalmi in Moed Koton that quotes that same story says it's talking about a Kohen. But the Yushalmi in Ketubot doesn't mention a Kohen. The Gemara in Baba Batra that says one may not permit it to leave Eretz Yisrael unless the prices or getting a parnos is so difficult to extreme case, then they're permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. But that they're not permitted. There again, it does not limit it to a Kohen. It's Gemara in Kiddushin, also about leaving, Rabasi wants to leave Eretz Yisrael. It's not a Kohen. So we see many Gemarot in the Bavli that suggest that it's not limited to a Kohen. That this restriction against leaving Eretz Yisrael is not limited to a Kohen, but is broad issue for all Klal Yisrael. One may not leave Eretz Yisrael. That's it. You can't leave Eretz Yisrael. Now, once we have that statement, is that true? Is that a given that one may not leave Eretz Yisrael? And if you say one may not leave Eretz Yisrael, why may they not leave Eretz Yisrael? So that might relate. Rav Arieli says that there might be a chakira here, but the restriction might relate to one of two items. The restriction to leave Eretz Yisrael might relate to Kedushat Haaretz. One may not leave because the Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh, and therefore it's impermissible to leave Eretz Yisrael because of that Kedushah, or because of that mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That one has a mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael here, and therefore one may not leave. The other possibility, right, is that the problem is that you have mitzvah that's Tluyot Varetz. If one leaves Eretz Yisrael, then he's mufka. He's removing himself from the mitzvah Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Rashbam in Baba Batra says. Why may one not leave Eretz Yisrael? It's because you're not going to do the mitzvah to Tluyot Varetz. So it's one of two possibilities. Either it's mitzvah to Tluyot Varetz. Now it could be, or it could be because of Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. Now Kedushat Eretz Yisrael may be independent of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael may apply even if there is no Kedushat Eretz Yisrael midoraisa today. So therefore, one of those two reasons might apply. That might be the Isur. Now, if that is the Isur, he mentions a number of nafkaminot between them. The number of nafkaminot between whether the problem is because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the problem is because of, Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, or Afkat Mitzvot Tluyot Baretz. One of them is if there's no ability to keep mitzvot atliyot haaretz. Tosos in Ketubot mentions that today. Why do we not ole l'eretz Yisrael? It's because they're too hard to keep. The mitzvot atliyot haaretz are too hard to keep. We don't know how to do it properly. So if you can't do the mitzvot atliyot haaretz in Eretz Yisrael, there'll be no restriction to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz l'aretz. Right? That's one possibility, one nafkamina between them. The other one is a temporary leaving. Over here, Tosfos says that the restriction against leaving Eretz Yisrael is only if you leave without wanting to come back or not, shalom amanat lachzor, if you do not intend to return. But amanat lachzor, it must be amanat lachzor. It has to be in a case where one intends to return. Now, if you say that the problem here is being mafkia mitzvah tuyot baretz, then even if you leave temporarily, you're causing yourself the problem of being mufka from mitzvah tuyot baretz. As long as you're out of Eretz Yisrael, you can't keep the mitzvah tuyot baretz. Other than if the mitzvah is about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael or Kedushat Haaretz, if you intend to return, that's not mafkia, the Kedushat Haaretz, not mafkia, the possibility of returning. Now, the other issue is whether the Easter is deoraito or derabbanon. So that may be another nafkamina. The Rashbam says that the Easter to leave is only midrabbanon, because we're dealing with mitzvah atuliyah baretz, and today, the mitzvot, trumot, maasrot, all the mitzvot atuliyah baretz are only a din derabbanon. So since they're a din derabbanan, the Isser can only be a din derabbanan to leave Eretz Yisrael, because that's you're being mufka from mitzvot atuliyah baretz. That's the Rashbam of Baba Batra. Says the problem is to leave because of mitzvot atuliyah baretz. On the other hand, the Shita the Ramban believes that there's a mitzvah today, mitzvah deoraisa to mikayim yishuv Eretz Yisrael, even if Kedushat Haaretz is only midrabbanan. There's still a mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael, midoraisa. And therefore, according to the Ramban, maybe there's an Isser deoraisa to leave Eretz Yisrael because there's a mitzvah of yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The other thing relates, the other nafkamina brings down, relates to the Heter Mechira. Whether Heter Mechira applies. Now Heter Mechira is mafkia mikdushat haaretz. According to the Ritbaz, the Ritbaz argued against the heter mechia because he says it's mafkia the kedushat haaretz, and therefore you're mevatlim the mitzvah of the yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There, if you're mafkia the kedushat haaretz by selling the land, you're causing people not to be mekayim mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael and not to do mitzvah atliyot baaretz. Rav Kook argued against him and says that the two are not connected. That a mechirat hakarka does not change the fact that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael relates to the inherent kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, irrespective of who's holding the property, and irrespective of whether you can be mekayim the mitzvah of Tzuliyot Baretz. So even if you can't do mitzvah of Tzuliyot Baretz, there's still a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So again, heter mechira might relate to what the issur here is here, whether the issur is mitzvah of Tzuliyot Baretz, or the kedusha tatzmit of Eretz Yisrael. So that Rabbi Israeli talks about the difference between or the possibilities of what the Isur is over here. Now the Heterim. The way that most people view this is that there is an Isur. It's no good, like the Stei Chemetz. There's an Isur, just a question, is an Isur Doraita, Isur Dorabonon. The question is, what are the Matirim? Then we're looking for things that are Mutar. So over here, our Gemara gives the exception of Lisa Isha, Lemo Torah, and Tzchora. Now Tosfos over here says, that's it. Because the Gemara Megillah says you're only allowed to sell a Sefer Torah for two items. Lisa Isha, Velamot Torah. It's clear from the Gemara Megillah over there, those two mitzvot are unique, because the Gemara says, why? Lamot Torah is because Lamot Menat Lasot. Person can't do, can't keep the Torah without learning. So that's a Choshuva mitzvah. Prior Rivya, Lo Torah V'Rala Yetzirah. The world was created to be inhabited. That's a huge mitzvah. So Tosa says from this you see, that it's only because these mitzvahs are so important do we let you leave Eretz Yisrael. But if you don't have an important mitzvah, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael. So based on that, Tosfos, one other place in Bava Batra, Daf Chet, says, Pidyon Shvuyim would also be included. Pidyon Shvuyim is also included. So only in these instances, these items where one is allowed, or there's a matter to leave, is a mitzvah that's chamura, special type of cases where you're allowed to leave. On the other hand, the Shiltot says that these are examples, and Kosh came by other mitzvot. Other mitzvot, where you can only do them when you go out to Chutz La'aretz, and for sure you can do them here, where it's Lamo Torah and Lisa Isha. Why did the Gemara have to tell you about these? Because you could learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael. You could marry a woman in Eretz Yisrael. You just want something different. You want to learn with someone else. You want to marry another woman, someone else who is not here in Eretz Yisrael. That's permissible. So these are the cases that are exceptions, and they had to tell us about this because there's a possibility of doing them in Eretz Yisrael. Yet you're still allowed to leave. But other mitzvot, when you only could have done them when you went out of Eretz Yisrael, surely you can do it. So the Shiltos expands this to include any mitzvah. Any mitzvah is permissible to go according to the Shiltot. The question, the Gemara in Kiddushin deals with the question of possibly of Kibud Avein. Over there it seems to be a Machloket Rashi in the Marsha, whether Rabbi Yochanan permitted or was allowing, when someone is asking, Rabbi Yochanan is asking to leave Eretz Yisrael, he's asking for Kibud Avein. Was he allowed to leave? And Rabbi Yochanan says, any day, I don't know if you can leave Eretz Yisrael for Kibud Avein. So over there, it sounds like Rashi thinks that you can't leave, or Rabbi Yochanan thinks you can't leave. The Marsha thinks that the question was not about Kibud Avim, because certainly for Kibud Avim, a person is permitted to leave. If one keeps that mitzvah, or is a mitzvah chashuva, then he could leave for it. And the Minchas Chinuch actually says that he thinks the halacha that one should be able to leave for Kibud Avim to go visit his parents. Again, Amanat Lachzor. All of these items, Tosfos qualifies and says, based on the Gemara and Kesubas, these are all when someone has the intent to return, these are all permissible to do it. Now, the Gemara also adds on in other places for Parnoso, that one is allowed to leave for Parnoso. When unable to make Parnoso, you can go out, and maybe even for Schora. Schora is when a person has Parnoso, but he would do better, he can make more money when he goes out of Eretz Yisrael, that one is permitted to do this. The Gemara Moikotan limits this to Mizonot for Parnoso. And there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, the Gabriel Arvocha, for extra profits. There, the Chachamim Paskin, we Paskin, the Rabbanan say it's okay for profits. They both say, Lashut, for a Tiyul, Asur. If one simply leaves Eretz Yisrael for a Tiyul, Asur. That's what the Gemara Moikotan seems to apply. And therefore, one may not leave. And Rabbi Avadi Yosef Paskin's that way for a Tiyul, one may not leave Eretz Yisrael. When it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch about these issues, the Shulchan Aruch says that one may only leave for the mitzvah, and then the Ramah brings down, which the Magen Avraham mentions over there, that even to go visit a friend, anything that is a little bit of a mitzvah, shari. As long as there's a tinge of a mitzvah in it, that is permissible. So again, if it's going to visit a friend, to see someone, whatever the reason that you can create, that will have some form of mitzvah, some form of purpose to it, that's okay. But stam l'tayel, stam to go on a tiyul, asur l'gamri, one is impermissible to leave. Now, I saw it, there's an article brought down, a shiur that was given by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, and over there, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman about the people don't understand the value of a mitzvah. People don't understand the fact that how important a mitzvah is. An example that Rav Shlomo Zalman gives is the mitzvah of sukkah. If people really knew the value of the mitzvah of sukkah, they would never leave the sukkah. They'd spend the whole Yom Tov sukkah and never leave the sukkah. So Rav Aaron says that he, when Rav Shlomo Zalman, he disagreed with Rav Shlomo Zalman. He says, wait a minute. That's not it. The mitzvah of sukkah is lador, to live there. The sukkah is not a Beit Keles. It's not a prison. It's not that a person has to be in the sukkah all the time, never move, never leave the sukkah. That doesn't make sense. The mitzvah is to live there like you would live in your house. So that nobody confines you to your house to say you would always be there. To say the erech of the mitzvah is to stay there all the time, that doesn't make sense, because that makes it into a prison rather than lador, a place that you live. And so, Rav Aaron argues also by Eretz Yisrael. The issur to leave Eretz Yisrael. He says what? The mitzvah to stay, people say in Eretz Yisrael means that you have to be locked in Eretz Yisrael. You can never leave Eretz Yisrael. There's no way. Everybody looks at it that it's also to leave Eretz Yisrael unless you have a matir. So that, what do you have? You're creating again a prison where you're never allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Is that really true? How can it be that you can't leave Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Aaron once goes on to argue, it's an amazing statement over here. He says that when it comes to certain psychological issues, a person goes out to see, for instance, beauty that cannot be found in Eretz Yisrael, certain natural phenomenon that cannot be seen in Eretz Yisrael. Why shouldn't that be permissible? If a person's allowed to go out to do things that he can't do in Eretz Yisrael, like schora and other things for his well-being, for his monetary well-being, why can't he do it for his psychological well-being as well? So therefore he says, I'll quote you, he says, I don't think there should be a restriction against someone leaving Eretz Yisrael to go see something, Nofim or Tarbut, whether it's culture or beautiful landscapes or beautiful natural wonders. But to do business, the richest man in the world can leave Eretz Yisrael to go get more richer. Why should that make any sense? That he can leave to get richer, but a person for psychological well-being can't leave? Yeh mutar. It's for one psychological well-being or something that you can't see in Eretz Yisrael, be mutar. Im atiyul, mukdam, b'chinat toranit. It has to be, a Torah tiyul, erachit, quality, ruchanit, v'tarbutit. Gam ba'ofi shel matir, yizeh lefachot ha'erach shel skora. It can't be less than skora, making money. How could that be less than money? So again, depends what the nature or the purpose of the tiyul is, but the Rav Aaron wants to even be matir in the case of tiyul for the psychological well-being or something that cannot be found in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, an amazing topic about what the restriction of leaving Eretz Yisrael is. Who is restricted? How wide is the restriction? What are the exceptions to that rule? Right, what's the reason? What's the isur? What are the exceptions to that rule? And again, whether it's just exceptions to the rule, like we all did, or Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's chiddush, which is that it's not about a matir, an exception to the rule. We can't look at it as, Eretz Yisrael can't be a Beit Kel, it's not a prison. It just means that when you leave Eretz Yisrael, you have to have some sort of, you have to do it for a purpose. It has to be some purpose to it. Meaning that just like you would live in any other land, you would leave that land, you'd leave that area in order to do things that are normal. So it's over here. If it's Eretz Yisrael, you'd leave to do things that are normal. That is considered a door. You should have Eretz Yisrael to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's enough to permit one to leave Eretz Yisrael. All right, now, and the Gemara continues. Now, Rabbi Natan and the Chachamim don't argue over here, because we see over here that Rabbi Yochanan paskan aloha like Rabbi Yossi. The aloha like Rabbi Yossi was the price that says you can transact with the Ovdei Chachamim. So who are these? Who's saying over here that they can transact with the Ovdei Chachamim Yom Eidam? That must be the Chachamim. So that's the Chachamim who argue on Rabbi Natan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, they don't argue. The difference between them is who they are transacting with. Rabbi Natan's case is we are transacting with professional merchants. The professional merchants are obligated to pay a tax to the Avodah Zarah. Since they're obligated to pay the tax, therefore you may not transact with them. And if you do transact with them, everything is asur. On the other hand, the breita that we brought over here, where Rabbi Yochanan, right, we see that it says, Alokhik Rabbi Yossi, over there, that breito is referring to a case where you're transacting with a balabait. You're dealing with a local individual, with some person, not a professional merchant, and therefore, he doesn't pay the tax. Since he's not obligated in the tax, there's no problem with transacting with him because there is no tax here. So you're not being mehaneh because of the lack of a tax. Amar, behema tiakir. Oh, what about the fact that you're allowed to? You take the hoofs off the behema. Vayika tzar balechayim. What are you doing? This is tzar balechayim. How could you do such a thing? All right. Granted, Baal Tashkid is only when there's no purpose. Over here, there is a purpose. It's also about, no, we want to be, take away from Bodhi Zara. We saw that before also by the Melachim, Sofim ala Melachim. There's a purpose there to give kavod the Melech. Okay, so I can overcome the problem of Baal Tashkid. But how do I overcome the problem of Tzar Baal Lechaim? Tosfos back on Yudalek by Yitzorfin ala Melachim asked that question. What about Tzar Baal Lechaim? And here the Gemara asks this. Amar Abai, Amar Rahman, the Pasuk says, see what it says here, Amar Rahman, the Torah says, where do they quote the Pasuk from? Yoshua. They're quoting, they say, it's from the Torah, they say, et susim teakir, that you will uproot their susim, in order to be mevazeh, and to get rid of the enemy, take them away, that you'll take all away their susim, you'll be teakir. Right, that's Tzar Baal Lechaim. What about the Tzar Baal Lechaim over there? So, ezi yikur, what's the yikur over there? Is menashir parsotem minakov lamata, exactly what we talked about over here. So you see what? You can do it. So we have a posuk that permits it, and that's why it's allowed. Tosfos jumps and says, wait a minute, we know from the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Tzar Baal Lechaim is the Oraita, maybe from the Torah. We spoke when we did the Gemara in Daf Lamed Bet, Lamed Tur, Lamed Dalet, in Bava Metzia, we spoke about what could be the Makor for Tzar Baal Lechaim the Oraita. But even Tosfos himself over there said, Tzar Baal Lechaim the Oraita. If Tzar Baal Lechaim is the Oraita, why does bringing a pasuk from Yeshua help you? You're bringing a pasuk from Novi to try to overcome an Issa the Oraita, that doesn't work. So Tosfos answered, we saw this back on Yudalek, so Tosfos over there says, Kvod Rabim Shiny. That the Kavod of Rabim, that the Kvod of Melech, which is a Kavod of Rabim, that is shiny, that's different. Meaning that the Kvod of Rabim is able to overcome the issue of Tzar Baal Lechaim. And because of that, we're permitted to do it over here. That's an unbelievable statement of Tosfos over here. It says the same thing in Bava Metzia. He says over here that maybe Dilma Shiny Otam, because Alpia Dur Havi, by the case of Yeshua, it was done by the instruction of Hashem. But over here where it's a knas, how could the chamin do it? Listen to this. Chamin have the power to be okir a mitzvah min a Torah where they think there's a good reason for it. And that may be the case of here. So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer about back by Yisrofin al-Melachim, because Kavod Rabim overcomes Tzar Baal Lechaim d'Oraita. And over here he says, what about Avodah Zarah? And this, he says that the chamin have the power to be ochre a mitzvah d'oraita in order to, if they can see a purpose to it. And over here they're being ochre the mitzvah of Tzar Baal Lechaim d'oraita because they see some reason to do so. Alright, now the Gemara says, Rumini, is this really true? Why is that? And do you really have to do this in terms of etzusehem te'akir? Why? Because we have a case over here. Rumini, ein makdishim, ein machramim, ein marichim b'zman hazeh. One may not make something kodesh b'zman hazeh. One may not be kodesh. Ve'im ikdish ve'ev marich, if he goes ahead and he does make something kodesh b'zman hazeh where there is no purpose to it, then behemat yakir, like we said, behemat yakir, we'll see what it means, perik su duklim, yirkavu, or yirkavu, ma'ot v'klay matechad yulicham l'melamech. All these items, the same things that we talked about. Ve'ezehu yikur. What's yikur? We said until now yikur means removing the hoops. But is that really true? Over here, the Braitza says what? Is it Ikur Noel Delib Fanavi Meta Me'alel? You lock it up and it starves to death. That's Ikur. So why over here, when it comes to Hekdesh, they said Ikur is locking it up and letting it die. Konsinotoli Kippa. Whereas here, when we talk about Zera, we said Ikur is taking the hooves off. So I'm Rabbi, Shani Hotam, Mishum Bizayon Kochim. Over here, we have a problem with Bizayon Kochim. We don't even vazid the Kochim and cut off the hooves. So when it says Nishchate Mishchat, so why don't we just shecht it? Then if you just need to get rid of it because it's kochim, shecht it. All too boldly day takala. Then people are going to make a mistake and they're going to eat it because they did shechita on it. They're going to think you can eat it. L'shave gistera. So just slice it in half. You'll kill it. You slice it in half. It'll be dead. Won't be a bizayon kochim and everything will be over. I mean, you'll kill it without being shechita. Nobody will eat it. Amar bai, amar kol. The pasuk says, v'nitatztem et mizbechotam. That you can wipe out the avodah zarah. Lo tasum kein l'shem l'kechem. One is not permitted to do things that are kodesh, things that are hekdesh. You may not do such a thing to those that belong to Hashem. That there's a mitzvah to destroy that which belongs to avodah zarah, but the opposite is true. One may not. It's impermissible to destroy something that belongs to a kodesh baruch hu that is hekdesh. So therefore, since you can't destroy the hekdesh, the only thing we can do over here is konsin otol the kippah. Tells us that today. Wait a minute. We today. What about Bechor? What about Bechor today? We don't do Meiser Behema today because of this problem. What about Bechor? Did you have Bechor? How come we don't have Kotsin Oto the Kippah? So it says it's a big difference. By Bechor, B'choras kedusha me'aleah happens by itself, so therefore there's no knas. Where you're makdish, where you're the one causing the problem, then we say there's a knas over here, and they have to be considered until the kippah. Even though Tosafot says you could prevent the b'chor from getting kedusha, you go into the womb of the mother and you make a mum in it before it comes out, and then you would prevent it. We don't say you have to do that in order to, we're not going to be konis you if you don't do that. That's what we say. We do use different methodologies today to get out of b'chor or to be poter b'muchor, but nevertheless, you see Tosafot is grappling with how do we deal today with these restrictions. Rav Amar, Rabbi says, Mivnei Shneir Kamatil Mum B'Kodshim. Looks like you're putting a mum into Kodshim. Rabbi says, Nira? What do you mean, Nira? Mum Aliyahu. You're actually putting a mum. You take off the hooves. That's a mum. What do you mean? It looks like you're putting in a mum. Putting a mum into Kodshim. Rabbi says, Ani Mila Ibismachi Beit HaMikdash Kayam. That's only when the Beit HaMikdash is around. The Chozida Krovo. That it's roi to be Mukrav. Hash Velo Chozida Krovo. Leitlambo. Right? So over here, where it's no longer, you can't bring it, there's no way. I mean, when is there an issue to put a mum in a behemat kodshim? That's when you could otherwise bring it on the mizbeach. Over here, there's no way you can bring it on the mizbeach. There's no way you can bring it on the mizbeach. There's no issue of a mum. So therefore, it's nira. Somebody says, v'lavi kimata mum b'bal mum. Wait a minute, you're not allowed to put a mum into even a bal mum. A behemah that can't go on the mizbeach that has a mum in it, you're not allowed to make a mum in that, an additional mum in it. Even though you can't bring it on the mizbeach, nevertheless it's a sur to put another mum into hekdesh. So when it says bal mum, nehi delo chazi the gufei. True, a bal mum itself can't end up on the mizbeach. The demei chazi, nevertheless you resell it, and the monies are used to purchase another behemah, the hekdesh. So therefore it is chazi la krova in its value. Therefore putting a mum in it is restricted. Over here, it's not useful for anything. It's not useful for putting on the mizbeach. There's no base of mikdash. And it's not useful for exchanging it because you can't exchange it. Even when you exchange it, you can't put it on the mizbeach. So there's nothing valuable here. It's not good for the money to exchange, not good for itself. So therefore, over here, it's impermissible because it looks like you're putting mum into kodshim. It's not a real mum because the issur d'oraisa doesn't apply today. But nevertheless, according to Rava, it's nirik putting in a mum in kodshim. Rashi says we're talking about kodshim berka bayit over here because there's no problem with shkutei chutz. Here the Gemara asks, why did you do shchita on the behema? Wait, there's a problem with shkutei chutz. You're not allowed to shech kodshim outside of the mikdash. Why isn't there a problem with shkutei chutz? So Rashi says we're dealing with berka, we're talking about things that are kodesh berka bayit. So there's no issur of shkutei chutz. Tosafot says, what do you mean? Then what's Rava getting all excited about? Rava says it's nira kematil mum. You're putting a mum in it. For time of kodshim berka bayit, what's the problem with the mum? Mum's a problem, kodshim is beach. So Tosafot says, no, we're talking about, he does answer for Rashi, but then the Reis says that we're talking about kodshim mizbeach, and there's only an Isser, the Reis says the same thing here, there's only an Isser of ishkut echutz, when you can bring it on the mizbeach inside. If you can bring it into the mikdash, then there's a problem of shkut echutz. If you can't bring it to the mikdash, no problem of shkut echutz. So he solves the problem, same way the Gemara solves the problem of Baal Mum, solves the problem of shkut echutz. Tosafot afterwards says, if you want to say that it's kodshim berka bayit, that Rav is coming to explain both. Rav is explaining both kodshim mizbeach and kodshim berka bayit, and then it's zera on berka bayit altu mizbeach. And that's how you can explain Rashi's pshat. So he defends Rashi's pshat in the end, but he does bring the re, which is the alternative pshat that we're talking about here, kodshim mizbeach. Okay, now, Ashkei Rabbi Yonah, the Rabbi Eloi, the Ka Pitcha de Tzur, he was standing at the doorway to Tzur. Mike, Tani, Behema Teaker, Evid, Mai. Right, so now, what is it? What is it? When you say about Behema over here that you purchased in the Shuk, right, there you have to destroy the Behema, you take off its hooves. Evid, if you purchased an Evid, Mai, what do you have to do with it? Evid Yisrael Okami Bailey, if you bought a Jewish Evid, that I don't want to talk about. Of course, you don't do anything to him. Ki Kami Bailey, Evid Ovdi Chachamim. If he purchases a non-Jewish Evid, what does he have to do to him? Mai. I'm like, Mai Kami Boiloch. What's the question? Tanya, Ovde Kochavim, Barei Behema Daka. Person is an Ovde Kochavim, or Roe Behema Daka over here who are considered to be Gazlanim, and they have a din like Ovde Kochavim. It's amazing that if you're a Gazlan or Gazlan de Rabbim in Eretz Yisrael and they ruin Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, those Roe Behema Daka, they're like Ovde Kochavim, Lo Malin. We don't take them out of a boar, but we don't push them into the boar, meaning that we passively can allow them to die, but we don't actively kill them. So over here, what are you asking? You want to actively kill the Eved because he was bought in the shuk of Avodah Zarah? That's not permissible. So what are you asking to do over here? So Amalei Rabbi Yirmi Rabbi Zeymak Tani, Luchim Behem, Behema, Abadim Shvachot, Eved Israel, Odilma Filu, Eved Oved Kochavim. What are you permitted to buy from them? The other braita that we bought. This is the first braita that says that you have to destroy everything. The second braita, which is the Chachamim, says that you can purchase all of these items. So we want to know, what are the items that you can purchase? So we said before, what you can purchase? Avadim shvachot. Now those avadim and shvachot. The behema, we understand, avadim shvachot. Eved you can buy. Is that Eved Yisrael? Or Dilma filo Eved o chavim? Or even a non-Jew? Amalim istavra Eved Yisrael. Must be Eved Yisrael. The Eved lo chavim, la mai mi boile. If he's buying a non-Jewish Eved, then what does he need it for? What do you mean, what does he need it for? He needs him to work. That's what he needs him for. So what do you see from the Gemara over here? I said to you before, when it says, Ari kumatzil miyadam, means that they think that everything in that Mishnah, that brisa, is a mitzvah. Anything you're purchasing is a mitzvah. So each of their items, the Gemara is going to go through it in a second, show you that each one of these items is a mitzvah. So they want to know what mitzvah. To buy a Eved Yisrael, that's a mitzvah. You're taking him away. He's now subjugated to a non-Jew. You're bringing him into a Jewish, back to a Jew. That's wonderful. But to purchase a non-Jewish slave, why should he be permitted? But what's the mitzvah that you're doing? So listen to the answer. The answer is even more incredible. He makes him into a partial Jew. He's chayven mitzvot, like an isha. That you can buy. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah. It's almost this. We don't find it all. The proselytizing by Jews, we don't find it all. The Gemara never promotes this idea that there's a mitzvah to bring non-Jews to Judaism. It might be a mitzvah to have them keep the Shiva mitzvah b'nei Noach, to make them into Jews. No. Over here, the Gemara says, mitzvah, buy an Eved Kanani, because you'll make him in the Machnis Otach and Kanfi Shechina. It's an amazing statement. Samar Vashi, Atu Behema. So now how are you going to explain Behema? What mitzvah do you have in Behema? My Machnis Otach and Kanfi Shechina, Iko? How are you going to explain that? What mitzvah is there to buy Behema? To bring him into Otach and Kanfi Shechina? Ella, Mishum Mi Utayu. To reduce them. What does that mean, to reduce them? So reducing them means that we're taking away, or you're reducing their value, their monetary value. That's what Rashi says. He wears them down. You buy their animals that they use to make their money or they sell. You're slowly taking away their money. Same thing over here. Buying a non-Jewish slave, buying the Eved Kanani is also mimayit. So all these items you're allowed to purchase from them because you're taking it away from them. Taking it away from them, even though you're giving them money in exchange, nevertheless, that is what we're asking for over here. Right now, okay, Rabbi Yaakov Zavan Sandalo. Rabbi Yaakov bought a sandal. Rabbi Yaakov Zavan Pita, he bought bread. So Amalei Chadach Abrei. Each one said to his friends, Yatmo, you forgot the din? Omad Rabbi Chalchi, did your Rabbi ever do such a thing? That he purchased, either one saying to the other one, your Rabbi ever purchase bread or a sandal? Samuel Idach, the other one responded, Mid Yatma Avad Rabbi Chachi. The same question, each one said to each other, you forgot? Did your Rebbe ever do this? Did he permit you to do this? Both of them bought from a Balabite. The reason it was permissible is because they bought from a Balabite who doesn't male, it's not male, not male meches, he doesn't pay taxes. That's why it was permissible. And each one of them thought they really bought it from a merchant. So they were questioning each other. Is that the locha? Is that really true? Is that what your Rebbe did? Because they thought they bought it from a merchant. Turns out that they did it okay because they bought it from a balabite. Damar Rabbi Abba Breid Rabbi Chir Bar Abba Lo Shonu El Balokeach Min HaTagar. That's what we answered for Rabbi Yochanan before. That's only when you purchase from a merchant. The Shakli Michsa Minei, because they force a tax out of him. Abba Balokeach Min Balabite Lo Shakli Minei Michsa. There's no problem with transacting. Then it's mutar because you're not Mehaneh El Abba Dezorah. Amar Rabbi Abba Breid Rabbi Chir Bar Abba Il Moli Haya Rabbi Yochanan. If Rabbi Yochanan was around, Hazimno, in our time, Ba'atru the Kashaki Michsa, Filmi Balabait, where they take the tax even for the Balabatim, have Aser. He would have asked even a Balabait or transact with him. Ella Inu, Hechizom, if that's the case, how did they transact with these Balabatim? Balabait, Cheno Kavuel Zavun. They purchased him from a Balabait who's not normally transacting, so they didn't collect the tax. It wasn't either someone who didn't live here all the time, someone who wasn't involved in being a merchant all the time, therefore they didn't think about collecting taxes from him. But today, where they collect taxes from the merchants and the Balabatim, you can't transact with either of them, because then you are Menanenah, the Avodah Zarah. The last thing I want to mention here is, wait a minute, how did Rav Yirmiyah buy pot over here from a non-Jew? What about pot akum? What about pot akum? How is he buying pita from them? So Tosis over here asks the questions. Gives two answers. One is makom she'ain plater Yisrael. There's no Jewish baker in the neighborhood. No Jews in the baker. There's a head there for a non-Jewish baker. Also, he bought it for his behema, or he bought it for his non-Jewish slave. And that's why he bought it. And then the last thing Tosis asks is that we said before that you're only allowed to purchase from them durables. How can you purchase from them something that is a consumable item? And that's why we saw in the Mishnah that many people question Rashi's Pshat here, that's Yom Chagah. If they're Yom Chag, how are they purchasing these consumable items from them? So the answer that Tosfos gives is that bread is different. Bread is something that, even though it's not a durable, it's a consumable item, it has many buyers. It's a universal item, it's something that everybody would jump on. If he doesn't sell it to you, he'll sell it to someone else. So therefore, it doesn't have that value to the Ovid Chachamim that's going to be molded to Zavod HaZarah. It sells the bread. You can sell the bread no matter what. It's only as a hard to sell an item that's without refrigeration is going to deteriorate. Then we say when he sells it, he gets excited because he got rid of it before it rotted. But by bread, he doesn't have that consideration, he doesn't have that feeling. Okay, we'll stop over here.